This is the Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show on podcast. Hello, welcome to Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show. I'm your host, Claire, and we've got an important mission this month. It is Brain Tumor Awareness Month, and we're shedding light on a crucial issue. Brain tumors claim more lives among children and adults under 40 than any other cancer. Shockingly, only 1% of the national spend on cancer research is allocated to this silent threat. Right here on Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show, we're taking a stand. We're not just talking statistics. We're sharing stories, real heartfelt stories from people all around the globe who have been touched by a brain tumor. It's time to raise our voices and spread the word. By listening in, you're joining a movement to make a difference. Okay, so I'm going to go and give Paris a call. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Claire, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you that you wanted to share your experience and talk about what you've gone through. Should we go back to the beginning when you started having symptoms?
Absolutely. My symptoms actually started back in 2013, and I was really stubborn. I didn't want to do anything because I was just saying, okay, maybe it's just the type of work I was doing, because at the time I was an investigator and I was doing a lot of work. I was taking a lot of cases, so I just figured it was stress. Well, it got towards the end of 2013, and it was really bad. I started gaining weight. I started noticing that my body was just breaking down. Me and my wife, we actively worked out, and I was struggling with my workouts at the gym. So I told her about it. She's a healthcare professional, and she said, hey, you need to go get checked out ASAP. So we got everything set up, and then I was just meeting with a general practitioner. And they were able to discover I had low testosterone, but I was still having headaches. The weight gain was still going. It didn't stop. I started having stiffness in my lower back as well. That was something that was more alarming than anything, just because it was hindering my ability to move and walk. And it was a struggle at times. But then my wife said my eyes were starting to bulge a little bit. So they had me on a topical steroid that they thought was helping, but what we believed is that it was causing the tumor to grow a little bit more, because my symptoms just get worse. Mm-hmm. And I was up to 5 pumps with this topical steroid. They finally, there was an incident where I was having a hard time breathing. I was going into work, and my wife caught me in the shower just struggling. I couldn't really move. So we went to the hospital, and they told me there was a buildup around my heart, fluid. And maybe, I want to say a couple of days later, I ended up getting an MRI. And that's whenever they discovered that the tumor was near my pituitary gland.
How did you feel when you heard that?
I was relieved, but at the same time, that was my next reaction. I was like, okay, what is this? And I just happened to work down the street from my wife, who was at the hospital. I immediately went over there to her, and I'm like, hey, this is what they just told me. Because I got that news about the tumor maybe 15 to 20 minutes after I had my MRI. Mm. So I wasn't expecting to hear anything back for at least a couple of days. When they got back to me, I knew it was serious. So I went and talked to her about it. And she just said, hey, we just got to, it's time to kick in the gear, and we got to do what we got to do. Mm. And I was just ready to get it over with, bro. I wasn't prepared for what would come after the removal of it.
Did they then discuss having surgery, or did you have to go on some sort of medication for a bit? Because you were saying they put you on some sort of steroids. I don't know if you had the same, like you want to eat everything, including a house. You're just hungry all the time.
Yes, absolutely. When they started the steroids, that was mainly because he noticed that my testosterone was non-existent. They just thought I was just an overweight guy, but it was history. If they looked at it, I'm not even built the way that I turned into when this was going on. So with the steroid itself, yeah, I was eating everything. I noticed I was getting more bloated, and I was just blowing up. And I'm like, hey, this isn't working. And then once they discovered the tumor, he immediately got me in touch with, I actually finally got cleared to meet with the endocrinologist, because there was an issue with the insurance where they weren't allowing us to get the MRI done. And they just kept saying, okay, can you try this? Can you try that? Kind of something that happens a lot of times with the insurance companies here in the U.S. is a red tape, as my wife calls it. They give you it's really hard for them to want to approve certain procedures for some reason. But what we ended up finally going to meet with the endo said, no, this MRI is going to show more. The moment we did that, boom, I could meet with the neurosurgeon. The neurosurgeon then tells me, he didn't really give me an option about medication. He said, no, you're going to do surgery because of the location, but also the fact that he saw it start to push against my optic nerve. So he said, no, we need to remove it. And he told me about the initial procedure, which was going to be the transphenoidal surgery, but the gamma knife was actually added on once he was able to get inside and see my head and what was going on and realized that the tumor had actually gotten bigger than what he initially planned to do. So he had to freestyle it while the surgery was going on and then said, we'll do the gamma knife a month later.
Yes. So you had the surgery and then they got you to do the gamma knife. How did you feel about having the gamma knife?
The gamma knife, it actually, once he explained it to me, I was like, oh, okay, cool. At first, when I hear gamma, I'm like, okay, this is radiation. And then I just went through different things going, yeah, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I don't feel like this was going on. And once they told me it was an outpatient procedure, and then he explained to me what's going on, showed me the actual, I noticed that they have advanced in the technology. I noticed they use the math today. I actually had, it was hard to explain. It was like a box, kind of like that they put on and they drill it on the front of your head and then the back of your head, they screw it in. Now, I was under some type of local anesthesia when they did it. I wasn't feeling anything, only thing you feel is the pressure. And then I dozed off before they even started the procedures. I think I woke up maybe an hour and a half later and it was all done. But the headache to me was always the worst part of it. That day, I think I just went to sleep the rest of the day, but I was good afterwards.
Explain to people a little bit about Cushing disease and how that kind of came about after you'd had the pituitary tumor removed.
Yes. Yeah. Cushing's is one I've never heard of it before. Cushing's, it affects, it's basically when your hormones are not being distributed correctly. You're not getting them throughout your body. There's a couple different ways that you can actually develop it. Some have it through an adrenal gland issue that they may have, and some can be pituitary gland induced. You have a tumor or steroids. So that's where we were confused because that was it the tumor or was it the steroids that they kept pumping me on that may have caused that to occur during that time. We believe it was a combination of both, but then leaning more towards the steroids because a year later, 2017, I actually started testosterone again because they had noticed I wasn't taking anything, but I was still functioning and I had never followed up with the endo after the surgery. So my neurosurgeon realized it. He said, you haven't met with him at all in the last year. I was like, nah, he said, let's get you over there so at least they can start you on your hormones. Because he was following up with me, making sure that the tumor hadn't grown after the gamma procedure. And we know that it hadn't grown back, but he wanted to make sure that at least I was seeing good levels in my hormone with other areas, testosterone specifically. So they put me on it again, but then we started having difficulties with testosterone again. This time it was injections I was taking. And I said, I'd rather just go a different approach and we'll try something different. And if I need to get back to it, then I will. Yeah, Cushing's is one I've never heard of it before. I've never dealt with it. Any clients that I've had, because I'm somebody who works in social services as well. And my wife had never come across this. So it was something that was new. I'll be honest with you. I think it's still more information that we're learning about it today as we go along, because there is... I think there's a lack of awareness, but there is a lack of education when it comes to it with medical professionals. Yeah. Not knocking them. I just think because they're saying that it's rare that you really may not come across it. I'm not sure it's as rare as, but it's being misdiagnosed as well. It does mirror a few other illnesses as well.
Are you having anything to help with it?
No, I've found other ways. Yeah, I haven't been on any type of hormone replacement since 2018. I stopped in June. That was a decision between my wife and myself. And I said I wasn't going to take anything anymore. And I'm just going to go a natural route. Same type of treatment plan that I would do for most of my clients and customers. I started practicing it on myself. And I said, okay, these are things that I know we can do, because typically with this type of tumor and experience and condition afterwards, they say that your quality of life diminishes. I'm a little bit stubborn. So I'm always going to try and say, okay, look, if somebody else has done it, then I can either do it or I can be the first one to do it. Mm. So my goal is always to keep going and improving other areas, because I think it's more than just the, I felt like once the tumor was removed, that was the root of it. Mm. And now it was, how do I take care of myself afterwards? Because I can't operate the way I was doing before. And I've got to be able to do things, but I didn't want to be dependent upon any type of medication if I didn't have to. And nobody was ever telling me I had to take medication, just that this would help with some of the hormones. But I've found a good systems that work for myself, and I've been great ever since. Matter of fact, I want to say, felt like a switch went off in 2022 at the end of it, going into 23. And a lot of things I've seen that was issued before, they have returned back to feeling better for my body now. It's good.
So what's the things that you do to get people in the same mindset that you're in?
Absolutely. One of the things I get them to do, you have to acknowledge that this is some form of a life-changing event, trauma, something that has happened, because your whole life is going to switch up. It's going to change. You got to accept that part. And I find that was difficult for myself, but even when I read through other posts of other people that are going through it or have been dealing with it for a while, it's a hard thing to accept in your life, and you have to do things differently. You're going to rebuild certain areas. That's one of the things that I learned. I had to rebuild my entire life, foundation, what my belief systems were, everything. It just changed. And doing that, there was a lot of growth that happened for me as a husband, as a son, just as a person overall, how I interact with people now. And ultimately, letting me have to reinvent. You have to reinvent who you are. Who I thought I was 8 years ago, I'm not the same person. And this absolutely changes it. But you've got to understand how to operate it. And those are the things that I work with a lot of. Only thing that changed really is just the fact that you have to navigate this new world of who you are, what happens to you. But also, I use it as a way to say that some things happen for a reason. I know that sometimes that can be a hard thing for people to grasp onto, but I don't know if, and I'll just speak because I've seen your platform, I've looked at it. It's giving you a platform to be able to speak and communicate across different barriers, different countries. And I think that's awesome. You know what I mean? Because it allows you to be able to share and they can see what you've been able to do. Mm. Had the same type of clients say they told me that, and I never thought about it that way. I had been working with them for a while and just said, look, man, you have the opportunity to help a lot of people and do things. And at times, it's one of those things where it's really hard whenever there's not a whole lot of info. And then some of the info that you get, it's not always positive. Because there is limited studies a lot of times on these, or you're not seeing all the greatest results afterwards. So my goal is always just to show people, look, man, you can always improve your quality of life. Don't think that it's not possible. Sometimes you got to suspend your disbelief to make it happen. And you just keep knocking, you keep pushing, you keep fighting day in and day out. We're built to adapt to changes. But we're also creative beings that are able to make things new. And I chose to, when I got up off of that table, my whole life is going to be new. And that's a choice that I made. It's a decision I'm going to stick with. And for the benefit of others, it's not about me.
Did you ever, when you were going through this, did you ever get to the point where, at any point, where you were like, what am I supposed to do now?
Oh, no. 100%. And I'm very open about this because I think it's important, especially when we're showing people how to transform. I was broke. I was broken all the way up to 2018 because there was so much I had done. And I'm talking about from the surgery to 2018. I had so many things going well in my life, my career. I was used to always succeed. Even as an athlete, as a child, going through college, boom. Success was just something that I knew I could do. This was different. This was more of a life battle. And everything changes. I thought I could do things one way and it didn't happen that way. Something that's not very often talked about, especially after some type of major surgery, is the depression and anxiety that people face. And even though I had been a mental health professional working in the field for a while, it is different when you have to experience it yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't say it was an illness as much as it was my mental health. It was just, I was down because, all right, things weren't the same. I was afraid because what's life going to look like moving forward? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to have another tumor come back? Is my body going to break down? The insecurities. As a man, there was some insecurities I was dealing with because my body completely changed. You're talking about somebody who was 230, 240, solidly built, athletic built to going up to nearly 400 pounds, and your body is out of control. Your hormones are changing. It's a lot of things that I had to deal with internally, but also understand that this was just a change that you don't volunteer for, but at the same time, I couldn't be stuck in time over what happened. It happened. We can't answer those questions a lot of times why it happened, but I want to know, was it just for me? A lot of times, I don't feel like when I go through bad things or when we do experience some of these difficult situations, it's not for us. It's definitely for other people. And being able to get into that mindset of understanding that we all need each other. In one way, shape, or form, we need each other. And I use this as a way to do that. Being open and honest and talking with people about the struggles that I really had with this, because it affected my marriage too. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I see a lot of people talking about. And when I say it affected the marriage, because my wife didn't understand what was going on and thought it had to do with her. And it didn't have anything to do with her as much as it had to do with what was going on, but you don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you do change, but it's a long road. A lot of times, you got to have that right environment, have the right people around you. I leaned heavily on my faith, you know. There wasn't anything else to really lean on. And sometimes throwing those challenges out, man, you'll get a response. You'll get an answer back. And I'm very happy with the answer that I've received.
Do you sometimes, so you say you have a faith, I'm not sure which your faith is or if you're saying a Christian, any faith. I'm a Christian. And do you ever find sometimes when you think, they always say God will never give you any more than you can handle. But have you ever sat there and think, how did you expect me to do this? But then you do get through it. You're like, you surprise yourself that look at me now to where I was and the way you're dealing with it. That having a faith, some sort of faith, it does pull you through, doesn't it? Yes, your family do as well, but you have to have an inner kind of something to pull you through on those days when you're like, am I ever going to get back to some sort of myself?
100%. Yes, I am a Christian. I do 100% believe in Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. And that, and I always say that sometimes when we make those declarations about who we are and what we stand for, what we believe in, God hears us and he's like, all right, I'm going to test you now. And that was the way I took this, because there have been plenty of times in my life where I could always say, I know God pulled me through. I know God pulled me through. But then there's certain moments. There's these crossroads in your life where you can't answer the questions as to what happened. How did this happen? How did you get there? Or what? And I can't give an answer a lot of times when I talk to people about this. I don't know. I just know that I was upset with him after that surgery. And when I say upset, I wasn't cursing him or denouncing him in any way. I'm just like, I don't understand. I did everything that you've asked me to do. Everything that the word said, I've done it. I stick with it. These are the things that I operate my life on. And now I'm getting this right here that's shaking up this whole world. And it seemed like you can crawl out of the hole that it just seemed like you were going in deeper. And I'll never forget, because that was the moment where I actually stopped the medication. And it was a person that we just came in contact with, my wife. His name is Kevin Leal, actually. He actually goes around speaking. And he had no idea what was going on. Zero. Anything. He didn't know anything about me. Had never met him before. Never talked with him before. And just the conversation that I was having in a prayer. And I'm always somewhere, I'm like, I don't believe prophets. I don't believe none of that. I don't believe people here and all. And sure enough, this guy was literally answering questions that I was having just about where I was at, where life was going, what was happening. And that was whenever I recommitted again. I said, okay, I know God works impossible miracles. I know that. I was dealing with the logical part of my mind because I'm like, but here I'm feeling something different. So I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to focus in on doing exactly what the word said to do. And I would just focus on it and see what happens. Mm. You know what I mean? I put trust in this, all I can do. So I know he doesn't put anything on me that I can't handle. Mm-hmm. And I know there was times where I was questioning, but it seemed like the more I was throwing questions out, those answers were coming back a lot faster to let me know, hey, I can hear you. I'm here. I'm watching. Wait for you to make the right decision. Mm. So, yeah, man, my faith, it pulled me through, man. My relationship really with the Lord and really just focusing on the things that have been instilled in me as a child and not forgetting them in these moments when you have it, because it could be easy to turn your back, but sometimes you got to make that decision and be diligent.
Now you help other people. So can you just tell us a bit about what you do?
My website is for anyone who's looking to rebuild their life. Maybe they want to work on growing and developing themselves, or they're in a position of wanting to reinvent themselves. Those are the three categories that I've always come across in my professional and personal life of people that are wanting to better themselves. You fall in those areas, but you don't really know how to do it. All I do is take a lot of the skill sets for what I studied at school, my professional experience, again, someone who's worked as an investigator or mental health professional and worked in social services. I just combine all those skills together to show people, okay, these are the main areas that you really want to focus on if you want to improve your quality of life. We get so often talking about value, high value things, that I think we miss the quality of things. But if you work on the quality, you're automatically going to increase value. They just go hand in hand with each other. So I don't just primarily work with men, but based on the data and the information that I know here in the U.S., especially for men's mental health, nearly 20% of any type of therapist, counselor, or mental health professional is a male. That leaves the other 80% to be women. And nothing against that. It's just that sometimes men need a space where they can speak. They got to be able to talk to someone who understands what they're trying to say or convey a lot of times, or give them a different perspective. I've been in a position where I've been allowed to see different perspectives from people that has helped me grow, but also I get an understanding of why there might be a communication barrier sometimes, whether it be with genders or whether it be through ages, because sometimes there's a communication barrier with children and their parents. So I'm always focused on working on the mental health and improvement of that area, because I do believe a lot of people, we get mental illness and mental health kind of in the same category, where mental health is going to be more about your well-being. And I feel like if people are in a better environment, they got more support around them, they'll do a lot better with their mental health. Mental illness, you do require someone that would be licensed, professional to diagnose you, but also maybe treat you differently. It could be through medication or techniques that they've learned. My main focus is always on the mental health, the aspect of improving your quality of life so that you can achieve a lot of the goals that you're trying to get to.
Mm. I think it's amazing where someone can use something that was It was given to you for something bad, but you've taken it to something good. And it takes someone strong, because some people will just walk away and they'll be like, I'm okay now, so I'm just going to leave this now and put it behind. You've actually grasped it and then said, I'm going to use this for somebody else now. And that must feel good when you do meet these guys or whoever comes up to you and you get to just support them.
Oh, 100%. Everything that you just said, Claire, is correct. As far as when we get things, then my mindset just shifted, honestly, because I realized that you get more important. And this was something that was so hard for me to understand for a long time, was the reaping and sow concept. And that has really nothing to do from a financial aspect. But I used to believe that. I used to think that, stay in that mindset. It's more about, like you said, now that I've been through this, I'm on the other side of it. And I'm continuing to grow and continuing to learn more, but also better myself. Now, sometimes we tend to forget that there's other people on the same path as us, but there are a few ways back. So you always got to reach back for those that's there, that's still wanting to figure it out. Or you just can't leave anyone behind just because you're better. You're good. All right, I can go on. And that's something that really has it's impacted my life, man, because I just noticed more that I serve people. I actually pour into them time-wise what I can do. It means a lot, man. It really, especially in this day and age, but you just see a lot of people that they're just looking for honesty, truth, and just something that can help them get to where they're trying to get to without any deception or any type of conditions attached to it. I always let people know, look, man, I'm here. If you need me, reach out to me. The Lord blessed me with a second life. Me and my family, we want for nothing. So that's why I'm big on making sure that I'm giving back and just really spending time, that quality time with people that are.
If someone wants to come directly to you, do you have a social media platform? Tell us all the ways that people can find you.
Absolutely. You go to my website at gtp.coach. That's my direct website. My TikTok, which is the one that I'm actually a little more focused on right now, is gtpcoach. If you can't get on my program, go there, because a lot of times I'm going to give you the same information that we're going to do on my program. Because I know a lot of people can't always afford it. So that's one place you can see me. And my Instagram is gtpcoach as well.
Perfect. If you had the chance to say thank you to anybody while you've gone on this whole experience, like the journey you've been on from the bit where you were having some sort of symptoms, is there anyone you want to thank on that journey? Just an opportunity to say thank you.
First and foremost, man, I thank my Lord and Savior. I thank my parents. I thank my wife. She's always on that list, no matter what. But I don't always give credit where it should be, and that's to the neurosurgeon. They'll probably hear me mention him every once in a while. I thought he did an amazing job of handling the situation. He's a believer also, and I truly believe that he was just really being obedient when he went through with this surgery, because this was the first time it was ever performed at the hospital that it was at, and I think he saw that as an opportunity that, okay, I can do this. And even if he hadn't done it, just his confidence alone let me know that he could handle it. You know, now that I reflect on everything, but man, there's so many. It's a lot, man. That's why I said I could thank the endocrinologist just for his awareness and recognizing that we should do this. The MRI, ones that were really close. I think, like I said, my mom, my dad, and my wife more than anything, man, because there was so much that she sacrificed during that time. And I apologize, Claire, because I know we're getting to the end, but I know that there's a lot of people that's on the caregiver side that they don't get a lot of recognition. Mm-hmm. And you are sacrificing a whole lot, especially for the one that you love, whether it's your husband, whether it's a family member or someone you're in a relationship with. There's a lot of things that you have to give up too, but I will always say this, man, it's not something that's given up in vain, because it does pay off, and they appreciate. They really do. And if nobody else celebrates you, I'm always going to celebrate the caregivers, because I know what you guys have to give up.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much for just being a part of, for us, Brain Tumor Awareness Month, and also for all that you're doing.
Claire, I appreciate speaking with you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
That's okay.
To share with you, and you know, continue growth for you, man. You continue thriving and doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Take care, and thank you very much.
All right, take care.
All right, bye. This is the Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show on podcast.